This is KERA News. I'm Rick Holter. For the last month, we've been looking at the price of prison for folks on the financial edge. It's part of our One Crisis Away project. For today's Friday conversation, KERA's Christopher Connolly is here to talk about what some people are calling a culture of debtor's prisons. Chris, thanks for coming in.
Happy to be here.
Chris, the debtor's prison sounds like something out of a dusty Charles Dickens novel.
Yeah, so we're not talking about dank Victorian brick and mortar things here. It's more conceptual. When folks are talking about debtors' prisons now, they're talking about poor people who end up in jail or prison because they're too poor to pay their criminal justice costs, their fines and fees, people who wouldn't otherwise be incarcerated.
And those costs, as we've heard over the last month, they really add up.
Absolutely. There are fines and fees and other costs at every step of the criminal justice process. So if you're arrested, you might need to pay bail to get out. Your case goes to court. There are court fees. And then often you'll pay a fine as part of your penalty. If you get probation, well, there are fees to be on probation. If you go to jail or prison, there are all kinds of costs. And it also costs if you get paroled, too.
What happens if you don't pay?
The consequences are huge. So just ask Lynn Richardson. She's the head of the Dallas County Public Defender's Office.
Certainly when you get trapped in the system and you owe money, it could result in you being incarcerated or the fines build up over a period of time. And then if you're poor, you may have to make decisions whether I pay my light bill to keep my lights on, or I buy diapers for the baby, or I pay my costs, fines, and fees. But in many instances, people are just overwhelmed by the amount of money that they end up owing.
So it's worth noting here that back in the 1970s, the Supreme Court said you can't jail people solely because they can't afford to pay their criminal justice costs. But Lynn Richardson says it happens.
That brings to mind a man that Courtney Collins, your fellow reporter, profiled for this series. He basically went back into jail because probation was just too expensive. His name is Chanaran Sorn, and he said probation for meth possession was costing him $2,000 to $3,000 a year.
So far, I've met about 8-9 people who did the same thing I did, because, you know, it's better doing the time and then signing for something that could put you back in jail, throwing you out there for failure again. Because probation is basically signing up for failure.
Chris, how common is his story?
It's hard to tell because there are not a lot of hard numbers. Some studies found states where 1 in 5 people were behind bars because they failed to pay their fines. And then there are plenty of people who've been arrested but not convicted who are in jail because they don't have the money to get bailed out.
So what's being done about this?
A lot, actually. The Texas legislature last year passed a law that says you can't be jailed for failing to pay traffic tickets or other Class C misdemeanors. Those are the lowest level of crime. There have also been lawsuits challenging some criminal justice costs. And there's a lot of talk in Austin about making bail reform a key part of the next legislative session.
How do we get to this point where just being in the criminal justice system can cost you thousands of dollars a year?
Well, there are kind of two sides to this. So there's fines, which are part of the way that we punish people for breaking the law. Mm-hmm. But it's the fees that really hit more broadly. They're essentially part of the way that we've decided to pay for our criminal justice system, and they pay for a lot of things.
Chris, why are these attitudes changing?
There are a number of reasons. So there's the blood from a turnip argument. You're demanding money from people who don't have it. Mm-hmm. There's the fiscal consideration. It costs taxpayers money to lock someone up for failing to pay their fines. There's the logical argument. These are crimes that society has, by and large, decided you don't deserve jail time for. And then somehow failing to pay a fine or a fee makes you a threat to public safety. And then there's the moral argument. Basically, if you don't have money, you're more likely to end up behind bars.
Christopher Connolly covers politics and criminal justice for KERA. Chris, thanks for taking the time.
Sure thing.